Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Kalen DeBoer, Pearl. SEC Media Days yesterday. He's at the podium, covered a lot of ground, and, you know, he's not dodging it because you can't. The expectations in year two, way higher for the Crimson Tide coach.
Ooh, I thought they were big last year, too.
Well, but don't you always get a little bit of graded on a curve when Nick Saban suddenly retires? You get thrown into it. Yeah, Jalen Milroe stuck around, and you had some other pieces, but that's the first season taking over for maybe the greatest college coach of all time, probably the greatest college coach of all time.
Year two,
you got more continuity, more of your guys in place, more of a leadership role. I feel like the real expectations kick in now.
So I think the pressure kicks in now because he didn't play up to the Alabama standard last year, but the expectations, I think, were higher last year. What's our preseason going to rank? I'd be surprised if they're in the bottom half of the top 10, right? So I think there's a little less. Like, people are not thinking this. Are people thinking they're a title team now? I think people are just down on them because they're like, well, clear that Kalen DeBoer is no Nick Saban. That's how I would think. That's a common one. I don't think I think the pressure's on. I think he's on the hot seat, but I don't think that people expect him to win at all, do they?
I don't know. Does that feel like semantics a little bit? Pressure and expectations?
No, the expectations last year, I thought people kind of thought he was coming off a title game. He's going to take Jalen Milroe and just roll with this team. That is not the modern Alabama. Now I think people are like, oh, this is a lot harder than we thought. That's how I view Alabama. I think a lot of people view him that way. Like, they don't think, like, I don't think people are like, well, now Kalen DeBoer is going to win the title. Maybe I am semantic, but, like, I feel like he's already been knocked down a peg in 1 year.
Okay, let's hear from Kalen DeBoer, Manny, on expectations. What do we have? On Nick Saban, pardon me, and the rumors that Nick Saban may want to come back and coach. Let's do it.
He's, you know, one of the greatest to ever do it. And so he's earned the right to, you know, do what he wants. I think the best part about what Coach Saban's doing right now is that he's still involved in the game. You know, he's growing the game. He brings passion to it.
Okay, so as if, you know, pressure, expectations, whatever you want to say, Pearl, on Kalen DeBoer, the last thing he needed was rumors that Nick Saban wanted to come back and coach, because the shadow of Saban already looms large, and now these rumors are out there. Listen, they've been kind of put to bed, but Saban himself has not come out and said, you know, absolutely not. I think one of the questions, not just the expectations or pressure on Kalen DeBoer, that's certainly going to be its thing. But let's just call it what it is. Would Alabama be better off if Nick Saban did come back? Like, where are they better off with Kalen DeBoer there now, or are they better off if Nick Saban came back to coach?
100% Nick Saban.
Okay. That's only for the short term, though, clearly, because if you already retire once, that doesn't mean you're not going to rip off another decade here. And I would say that Alabama is actually better off with Kalen DeBoer now, because at some point, if Saban comes back, you're just going to have to replace him again. And you're going to be back in this moment. Meanwhile, Kalen DeBoer didn't forget how to coach just because they only won 9 games last year in what you believe is every game in the SEC, whether it is Vanderbilt or whether it is Oklahoma, and the 2 high-profile losses that Alabama had last year, that those are harder than anyone else on anyone's schedule. So I think that...
It's not just you forgot how to coach. It's just harder for Alabama to stack recruits now. We talk about that a lot. So I think it's
whether
harder...
Whether Saban's there or not, though.
But I think Saban has a better chance of doing that because he's Nick Saban. And actually, he's helping him out a lot on the recruiting trail, apparently. I just think Saban has a better chance to build a better team than Kalen DeBoer. So I think Kalen DeBoer worked great at Washington, but I'm just not sure it's ready for the big league in SEC to be dominant like Saban was.
Well, but again, it's a different set of parameters. And are you sure that Nick Saban would actually be able to, you know, stack 5 stars on top of 5 stars? Because it was trending away from that even when he was at the end. Like,
well, yeah, but he came into the recruiting process this year, apparently made it much more attractive. He really helped, according to the reports. So I think Nick Saban, yeah, I do think he'd be a better building a team than Kalen DeBoer, just because of fame. I think, yeah.
Is it about fame now? Is it about money now? Where I can shine?
Here's the thing. If the money is equal between Alabama and Georgia, it might say the money's equal, then maybe I think Nick Saban would be a deciding factor, where I don't think Kalen DeBoer would be that yet.
Yet, but again, eventually, at some point, you are going to have to move on from Nick Saban. Like, it doesn't actually solve any problems for Alabama if he came back. And let's not also forget, the last college football playoff that Nick Saban and Alabama made really was because Florida State got royally screwed,
Well, right. But you said in the short term, like, okay, it feels to me, unless they're really great this year, and I'm wrong, it feels like Kalen DeBoer might be a bridge to the next coach, because that often happens in these situations where you take over for the legend and it doesn't work out great, and then somebody else comes in. Like, I remember, what was the guy in North Carolina, Bill Guthridge, or when Dean Smith retired, there was a bridge to Roy Williams.
Right.
So I kind of wonder, like, is Kalen DeBoer going to be a bridge to Dan Lanning or something like that? It just crossed my mind.
Being the guy to replace the guy, never easy.
Especially in today's college football, where it's so competitive to get these guys we were just talking about. I feel like Kalen DeBoer's in a really tough spot.
But he's also in a really great spot, you know?
Is he?
Yeah, because you still are the head coach of one of the premier programs in all of college football. Like, I'm sure he would say in some ways it's harder because the expectations may be bigger, but in some ways it's probably a lot easier than even being, you know, at any of his previous stops, because you have so much support. You can call Nick Saban to help you close the deal on recruits. You have basically half the NFL went to Alabama. You know, you also have a ton of resources. Is it like Texas A&M money? Maybe not, but if you're actually going to have this sort of maybe salary cap on college football at some point, the Alabama name is still huge.
I think it's the worst of the worst. You have all the expectations of Alabama and none of the advantages that Nick Saban had when he got there. So I don't think that everything you just described kind of works in today's game. I'm a little more cynical.
There's another thought that, you know, Saban coming back to Alabama, if let's just hypothetical, but coming back to Alabama, does it feel a little like getting back with your ex? Like, I know it didn't end badly between the two of them, so in some ways you don't have like a lot of baggage, so to speak, but it's like you're trying to recreate and rekindle something that clearly he felt the need to walk away once. So what changed in a year, you know, or 2 years that would all of a sudden, besides just him getting the itch?
Just that report from Greg McElroy that he wants to come back. I mean, we actually tried to find a home for him, Maggie, and I don't think we ever found the perfect home. Like, Alabama's got all the elements that he would like. I mean, why would he go? What was the?
SMU, and you said Duke.
Yeah. Like, if I'll tell you what's a better program than those two, Alabama.
Chris is in Birmingham, knows that. Chris, what do you think? Saban ever going back to Bama?
No, he shouldn't. I mean, I'm surprised at Perloff, because usually it's Maggie with the clickbait side of a topic like this. Listen, the man went 9-4 in his first year, Kalen DeBoer. Can we just give the man time to at least
establish
himself?
But Chris, you know how fans are down there. I mean, I listen to the Feinbaum show. It's pretty intense.
And if you call into the local Alabama radio station, 94.5 FM, I'm the main one telling the fans, slow down. We got to tape our expectations. The NIL transfer portal deal is a real thing. When Saban left, majority of that roster left, and they went to the playoffs. You get in order to quote be the standard, you got to find your standard. You know, Rome isn't built in a day. You have to build a foundation. You got to put your foothold in it. And to have expectations that the man should already be a world beater in year one, even Manny Diaz or, you know, even EJ's Miami Hurricanes would even co-sign with Mario Cristobal. It's a pretty good year, because I recall Mario Cristobal went 4-7 his first year. So, I mean.
Oh, and one of the more embarrassing moments in college football, remember where they could have taken a knee and they end up losing? Was that to Georgia Tech? Who was that?
That was to Georgia Tech.
Yeah. And Chris, thank you so much for the phone call. I like the calm perspective from Chris in Birmingham. I think the bigger sort of like, you can talk about culture and foundation and expectations and all these like big words. I'm kind of interested in what's going on with the Alabama quarterback situation. I know Ty Simpson got the job out of spring, still has it because nothing has changed since then. But how tight of a grip does he actually have on this three-way quarterback competition between himself, Austin Mack, and Keelan Russell, who's very young, just got in the program?
Yeah, it's funny. It feels like that, you're right, is they don't necessarily have like the blue chip starter, but I don't think that necessarily means they're out of the title picture, because, right, like Alabama doesn't necessarily need a first-round quarterback to win the title. They do have a lot of talent, but again, I understand, and maybe I'm being way too fast to judge Kalen DeBoer, but it's Alabama. Like, you have to be a contender right now. And like you just pointed out, they don't even necessarily have a starting quarterback. Maybe Ty Simpson seems fine, by the way. Like, I have no problem
been
with
been in college
Simpson.
For a long time.
So yeah, he should be fine.
It's weird because he's been in college for a long time, but it's not that he's, like, experienced in terms of, like, tons of starts.
Yeah, but listen, look at who won last year. It was
Will Howard.
Will Howard. And who won, Stetson Bennett. Like, you don't need Joe Burrow to win a title these days, because if Alabama was as talented as they used to be, but their best player is at Ohio State, Caleb Downs, the safety, is unbelievable. Like, he had a great point. A lot of guys left when Saban left. It's a hard assignment for DeBoer. I might be underestimating him as a coach. Like, yeah, he's a clever offensive guy, but you know it's different, Maggie, in the year 2025. The money's spread out a lot more. You were talking about Texas Tech outbidding Alabama. I don't know that DeBoer is going to have an easy assignment. He gets all the expectations and none of the advantages.
We'll see if he ends up getting the credit if they end up doing something fun this season. One small note, their new offensive coordinator, somebody who has coached with Kalen DeBoer for like 15 years, Ryan Grubb, who had a chance to be an NFL coordinator. Got to take that. Can't gatekeep a guy from that. So he was with the Seahawks last year, but that obviously didn't go great. So now he's at Alabama. 888-710-4ISN. Would Saban coming back be a good thing for Alabama? Or do you just have to turn the page and just let Kalen DeBoer sink or swim? Okay, let's get to it. Maggie and Perloff's
What's
quest
up with that?
To find the greatest sports nickname of all time. We've already released one region. Well, we've released the whole bracket. That's on our social media, at Maggie and Pearl on X, Maggie and Perloff on Instagram. We've already gone through the hoops and handles region.
It became personal with me.
And you can vote on such things as Air Jordan as the one seed versus the 16 seed White Chocolate. Can I give you a little Black Mamba versus Dr. Dunkenstein?
That old debate. Love it.
The worm against the answer. It's all there for you at Maggie and Perloff. But Manny, let's hit it. Our second region gets revealed right now.
Legends aren't born, they're nicknamed. It's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
Okay, this is our legacy and legends region. Although they could all really be legends of their own type.
Don't call them a legend, though.
Yeah, got in trouble for that yesterday. Okay, the one seed in this region is the great one, Wayne Gretzky.
This day in hockey history, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, scored the final goal of his NHL career.
Shot kicked away by Flaherty. Linden is pressured. Gretzky in front. Saved by Flaherty. The rebound. Score! It's taken a long time, but Wayne Gretzky is finally the all-time leading professional goal scorer.
The great one against the 16 seed Hammerin' Hank. Of course, Hank Aaron. This one may have been seeded a little bit too low. Hammerin' Hank, we do like that one. The eighth seed in this region, the legacy and legends, the golden boy, Oscar De La Hoya. Pearl, I love that. Against another boxer, the ninth seed, the brown bomber. Of course, Joe Louis.
Where's he from?
Much debate. The fifth seed in this region, legacy and legends, Mr. Cub. Ernie Banks goes up against the 12th seed as we're trying to find the best nickname in sports, the Galloping Ghost.
Go, Cubs, go!
Red Grange was the Galloping Ghost.
Red Grange, okay.
The 4th seed in this region, the Kansas Comet, Gale Sayers.
Give me 18 inches of daylight. That's all I need.
Sayers recorded one of the NFL's finest single-game performances.
With that game just 2 minutes old and the field slick from rain, Gale Sayers sprints past the prospectors for an 80-yard screen pass, touchdown run.
The Kansas Comet and Gale Sayers faces off against the 13th seed in this region, Pearl, the Flying Dutchman.
Can't forget the Flying Dutchman.
That would be Honus Wagner, who most people know as just being the most expensive baseball card or whatever, he was the Flying Dutchman.
I thought that was Franz and Moe's brother, the Wagner brothers.
Well, they're not Dutch, though. They're German, aren't they?
Ah, classic mistake.
No, I think the Van Bredekoffs were also known as Flying Dutchmen.
Was it Rick Smith the Flying Dutchman?
There's a few Flying Dutchmen, turns
Robin
out.
Van Persie, I think. Anyway.
We're giving it to Honus Wagner. Sixth seed in the Legacy and Legends region of greatest sports nicknames, Charlie Hustle.
I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
against the 11th seed in this region, Mr. October. The third seed in this region, of course, Babe Ruth, the great Bambino.
It was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she? What? The Sultan of Swat.
The King of Crash.
The Colossus of Clout.
The Colossus of Clout.
Babe Ruth!
The Great Bambino!
Amazing from the Sandlot. The three seed, the Great Bambino, faces off against the 14 seed, Broadway Joe. Joe Namath. Seven seed in this region, Raging Bull. Jake LaMotta. Against another legend, 10 seed, the Yankee Clipper. That would be Joe DiMaggio.
I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
The fact we got to use that twice in the same region is not an accident. The second seed in this region, the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays.
When discussing the topic of the greatest all-round players of all time, Willie Mays' name is almost always at the top or very near the top of the list. Throughout his 22-year Major League career, there seemed to be no shortage of ways in which the Say Hey Kid could take over a ballgame.
And the second seed, the Say Hey Kid, faces off against the 15 seed, the Iron Horse. Of course, Lou Gehrig. So there you go. That's your Legacy and Legends region, Pearl. Again, if you want to see them all in one place, at Maggie and Pearl on X, Maggie and Pearl off on Instagram. And on our YouTube feed right now, youtube.com/Infinity Sports.
Yeah, my favorite one is the Raging Bull against the Yankee Clipper. I don't know why that makes me laugh. Because people are going to think we're talking about the movie.
Fair. Yeah, we're not doing a greatest sports movies bracket, although maybe that could be another time. This is a tough one.
So when you were playing baseball in the 40s, 50s, 60s, even before, like, you had to have a nickname, right? Is that the deal? Like, you just couldn't be called by your normal name? Why do we not do that now?
Well, we do, got the Big Dumper.
Yeah, but generally, like, what... It's not like we didn't even know these guys, some of these real names. Back then, it was 100% nicknames. Lefty, Whitey, whatever, you know.
Yeah. This is why we're paying homage to all those great nicknames.
Yeah, Babe Ruth.
So you can vote at Maggie and Pearl on who should move on. Now, Pearl, you want to quickly, we got to take a quick break, but you want to go back to the basketball region, the hoops and handles region, which was released earlier in the show. You had an issue with the seeding here?
Oh, no. I think there's a real contender in this list, a five seed, which
Welcome
is not
back,
that low.
Maggie Perloff Show. We're
doing a bracket of the greatest nicknames
loves Kobe.
Of all time.
So you think
time.
Black Mamba's going to emerge from the hoops and handles, beating out the likes of Air Jordan, Green Freak.
There's some blowouts, but there's some real close battles.
Chocolate
so many
Thunder,
great nicknames.
More successful.
I'm telling
Pistol
you, I keep coming back to these. They used to know how to do
I think Air Jordan against Black Mamba is going to feel like,
you know how sometimes two great teams meet in Sweet 16?
Somebody called in
earlier. I think whoever emerges out of that,
I got to tell you, could win the whole thing. I'm being dead here.
We didn't put him on 64 greatest nicknames. The entire bracket's out right now on our social handles at Maggie and Pearl on X, Maggie and Pearl on Instagram. We've only released two regions you can vote on right now. So we'll do two more regions tomorrow to vote on. But the whole
has a tough first round matchup
out there.
Dr. Duncan Stein.
Let's get to PJ, who's in Atlanta. What's up, PJ?
It's old school, but it's cool as hell.
Where's Sweetness at?
It's super cool. I mean, I don't think he was a real medical doctor. He was a PhD.
We would never leave off Sweetness. I promise Sweetness has made it onto the Field 64. But I'm glad you called.
There's one real, real close battle. Like, really, like, I don't know who's going to come out of this one. But
Who is it? Go ahead. Are you on it?
I think it's the Iceman? Help me out, EJ. The Iceman and the Mailman are close. One of them is really close. The rest are the
Iceman and Mailman. You're looking at 57% to 42% right now.
Yeah, those are both so iconic, right? Mm-hmm. Iceman, Mailman. The biggest blowout is Magic is just destroying it. And Magic has a shot, too. Let's not, like... That's a pretty good nickname.
Magic against the 15 seed is the 2 seed against the 15 seed, the Big Ticket, of course, which is Kevin Garnett. Okay, so those two regions that you can vote on, all four regions have been revealed. You can go check out the whole bracket, and we will find sports' greatest nickname. Okay, coming up next, lots to do, including more from SEC Media Days, not just Kalen DeBoer and whether him talking about Nick Saban and the expectations for Alabama. We've got one of our faves at the podium. It's Maggie and Perloff.
The Great Bambino.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We're doing a bracket of the greatest nicknames of all time. Artie, we have polls up on X. There's some blowouts, but there's some real close battles. There are so many great nicknames. I'm telling you, I keep coming back to them. They used to know how to do this, Great Maggie. Now, now it's a maybe we are. You need years to establish it. Somebody called in earlier in the show, Big Dumper. I got to tell you, it's too soon on Big Dumper.
We didn't put them on. 64 greatest nicknames. The entire bracket's out right now on our social handles at Maggie and Pearl on X, Maggie and Pearl on Instagram. But we've only released two regions that you can vote on right now. So we'll do two more regions tomorrow to vote on. But the whole list is out there. Let's get to PJ, who's in Atlanta. What's up, PJ?
Yo, where's Sweetness at?
Don't worry. Sweetness is coming tomorrow. We would never leave off Sweetness. I promise Sweetness has made it onto the field of 64. But I'm glad you called because we all want to reiterate, if you want to see the whole graphic, you got to go to our social channels. Just the ones we're voting on today is the...
I don't do social.
You don't
I
do social.
I just call you. I just call you and work my way around 3 hours of the day, and then I do sales. So Sweetness is coming up. What seed is he?
Do you want to reveal
this? You have to listen tomorrow.
You'll have to listen tomorrow. Sweetness, by the way, tough first-round matchup, but I think Walter Payton is going to make it out of this first-round matchup, Pearl, but it's not going to be easy.
Ooh.
It's a
What are you talking about?
Well,
the guy that missed one game in his career.
PJ, we're talking about nicknames only, though. We're not judging on their body of work. This isn't like yesterday. We're doing the one home run for your life or one at bat for your life.
Which Manny won, by the way.
Just the nickname.
Well, I think it's a combo.
It's the greatest name. The guy said he ran so sweet that he got cavities watching him.
That's a good line.
Should we reveal who Sweetness is going up against?
Yeah, why not?
Do it.
That's whack.
Again, peer pressured here.
Well, it's on the internet.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, PJ. Tomorrow, Sweetness is a 5 seed going up against a 12 seed, The Glove. PJ.
That's a boat race.
Gary Payton.
Gary Payton? He couldn't play football if it fell on.
Actually, Gary Payton would have been a great football player.
Gary Payton, Portland legend, by the way.
Yeah, legend multiple cities, as we found out from our Mount Olympus
Gary
project.
Gary Payton would have a killer football player. I would have loved to see him play safety. Ooh.
Now, so that's tomorrow, the tough guys and enforcers region of the bracket. Sweetness is there with The Glove. They're going head to head.
The way you guys did this, did you try to mirror it to the actual NCAA tournament where like the 5-12 is traditionally, the 12 is like live? Is that how you're doing that?
Sure.
Because, I mean, The Glove is, I mean, that's like a, you know, that's a pretty good one.
Listen, they're all good. Getting it down to 64, is there one that you don't think belongs in here?
No, not that they don't belong, just the seedings. I'm kind of like, okay, like, because you don't want on all chalk brackets. I was just curious if that went into the thinking as far as the seeds go, you know?
I mean, I tried to, as best as I could, name the bracket, the nicknames as good as possible. Yeah. So a 12 seed, I thought was the 12th best, you know, nickname. But right. I think naturally those become dangerous matchups.
Can I just tell you, share you a very wrong AI overview search that I just ran into?
God, please.
I was looking at
AI overview.
God, please. Manny's like with CeeLo asking about the freaking seeds here. Yeah. Let's get to something else.
PJ called and said Gary Payton couldn't play football. I'm like, you know what? He looked like he would have been a good high school player. And I went to check it. He did not play football, but his son, Jared Payton, apparently played professional football.
Oh, yeah. I remember him.
Yeah. He's Walter Payton's son. Yeah. Yeah, he's not Gary Payton's son.
He's not Gary Payton's son.
Right. That's my point. Yeah. AI overview called Jared Payton Gary Payton's son.
Oh, they got that wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's awful.
Okay.
Yeah. But I can't find any Gary Payton football. Sorry, PJ.
We are so worried about the robots taking over. They don't even know that Jared Payton is not Gary Payton's son. Yeah. By the way, Gary Payton's son does play sports. He's in the NBA, and it's Gary Payton
II. I think he's a champion, right?
Yeah,
second. Gold State Warriors.
I mean, honestly, it's incredible. Michael Jordan's son, Michael B. Jordan, incredible actor.
Michael Beasley and the guy who cheated, Malik Beasley. I've been very interested in their connection.
Michael Beasley and Malik Beasley?
Maybe the two most fascinating players of all time.
Yeah, by the way, that's allegedly.
All time.
The backstory that's coming out of Malik Beasley is incredible. And Michael Beasley is definitely number one.
He's your favorite player.
EJ, you're with me on this.
Oh, he's a wild guy.
He's fascinating.
Former Knick. Of all time, though. Wow.
Oh, you got to see him playing one-on-one against Randos right now, okay. CeeLo. Not of all. I'm exaggerating, but he's quite interesting on social media.
I've been told I'm too literal. Sorry.
So I mean, Malik...
he describes shaking someone in the basketball court, like breaking their ankles, as, quote, you're going to be shaking ass when you're guarding me.
Okay.
That's a little hint into how weird insight. Michael Weaves
oh.
is.
Yeah.
You know, we can't do best button sports right now, but I'll tell you what. We could have. That because of Cal Raleigh, the big dumper, has all of a sudden brought sports butts into the big forefront, but or the back.
Wait, what's the competition there? Who are some other famous sports butts? Maybe as men, we don't notice this as much.
Refrigerator Perry.
Was he a butt? He was more a stomach. Most famous stomachs in football.
We could do that too. Just body parts. How long till we get fired?
BJ Raji had a great stomach.
Yeah. Oh. By the way, you know that Pete Rose clip that you keep playing about Joe DiMaggio. Mm. Mm-hmm. That was a famous body part that he was referring to.
Yeah, that's true. But that we can't do that. We'll definitely be fired.
I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
We're never going to make it past the 7 o'clock hour. I was going somewhere with this. I can't remember. CeeLo has updates.
Big butts.
Big butts.
Is the Sir Mix-a-Lot region?
Cecil Fielder.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Cecil Fielder. How about if I say thighs?
Saquon.
Yeah. Or A.J. Dillon. 1-2. Quadzilla.
Yeah. No
you
doubt.
You guys are going to make me say it because you don't want to sound and seem like pigs. Serena. I'll say it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what? Yeah, of course.
Oh, but.
yeah. Definitely.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. But I thought it was funny. I wasn't focused on that direction.
Mm.
Yeah.
CeeLo's got updates for you before we get ourselves into any more hot water. What's up?
Well, there's not a lot happening in sports, so we've been having some fun with the Shane Gillis monologue from last night's ESPYs. This actually was one of the tamer jokes, but I thought... quick and effective. I was surprised it didn't get a little bit better reaction, especially kind of recency bias here, pointing out in the crowd the reigning NBA and Finals MVP.
SGA is here. Give it up for SGA. Hell yeah, bro. And now everybody sitting around him is in foul trouble.
They were just people were like, whatever.
Sean Gilgeous Alexander.
Yeah. Solid sports joke.
Yes.
That's pretty cute. I like that joke.
It's current. I mean, they just won. That was a talking point during the postseason, the
still,
playoffs.
And it's very critical.
Well, but this is the like only personal. Room you can do that in, too, because no one else is going to know that he's like, you know, the foul being.
Right. Yeah. That's your chance. But anyway.
It's kind of like poo-poo is like, you're a foul merchant. That's why you won the whole thing.
Yeah. I thought it was funny. Anyway, much edgier with this one, which he seemed pretty hesitant about.
I didn't write this. Put your hands where my eyes can see is what they say when Deshaun Watson gets a massage. I disagree as well. I swear to God, I didn't want to tell it.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, that I don't get. What's the first part of that joke?
Yeah, that's the setup was weird. Put your hands where my eyes can
they
see.
They say that?
I don't know who says that, like, but he said that's what they say. I'm not sure what the lead-in was there.
I thought it was a lead-in to the song, but I didn't hear the whole joke.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah. Isn't that the Busta Rhymes song?
Yeah, put your hands where your eyes can see, but it's obviously,
Sorry. Yeah.
But like,
why did that come up last night?
I don't know. That part I'm not sure about.
There were a couple.
Because he performed.
Oh.
Well, that he was performing, right? Or my
Busta Rhymes? I don't think he
I saw him in the crowd.
Cliff performed. That was really cool. Jello performed as well.
Did he?
Yes, he did. And
LiAngelo Ball.
Yeah, LaMelo Ball came out and introduced his brother. It was a nice moment. And then Jello, you know, walked around the stage mumbling some words and everybody had a good time.
And then yada, 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 they gave an award to the Eagles and the night was over.
So wait, Busta Rhymes didn't play because I saw a headline like he was playing.
Oh, maybe he did. I don't know. Yeah. I the clips I saw were the clips and the other guy. And
clearly
Jello.
We were locked in on this.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I'm very proud. I've never seen a second of the ESPYs in my entire life. I never will. I've seen a lot of social media.
He did perform. Yeah, Buster was there. That
there
makes
you
sense.
Go. You were right, Pearl. Good job.
Oh, yeah. But no, I didn't know that was a lyric from his song.
So
there we
go.
Did
not. Yeah. No.
Pearl gets no credit for this.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm
no
so glad. I was
and
actually
God have
asking,
mercy on all of our souls.
I was actually asking someone to explain. Now I get the joke, okay?
A small thing about Buster Rhymes. Great in concert. Unexpectedly awesome. To see in concert. I'm just going to leave that there. CeeLo, back to you.
Based on what?
Like, I've seen him.
I know, but what was it that you...
He did this really great thing where he does like, he tells a story in the beginning and they do drops almost like our show. And it weaves through and he's like doing setups and telling jokes where the songs are the payoff.
Nice.
Very clever.
CeeLo goes, based on what?
Well, I mean, like, I was just,
something
I guess
I've never seen before.
My question, like, what was different from just hearing the song?
Yeah, no, he did, like, a whole skit, like, setup, all right. And all the music played into it, and very it cool. made the crowd go
also,
nuts.
Also, Busta Rhymes' energy is always a 10.
So good.
I mean, he's always, like, and Mr. Energy, basically. He comes out, and he's just yelling and jumping and going crazy. That's Busta Rhymes' jam.
All right, I'm sold. I'll have to check him out. Not the smoothest night for the presenters either. Matthew Stafford and Olympian, Sydney McLaughlin, up on stage looking for their script at one point.
Can we work on the prompter there? We got a black and white screen. Sorry about that, America. There you go.
Great. Thank you.
Didn't know what to say or do.
I mean, come on, improvise, ad lib.
Not their specialty.
Sorry about that, America.
Yeah. Audible, Matt Stafford.
Yeah, he does know audibles. That's
kill,
true.
Kill.
Can. And then there was Drewski. Definitely left him with too much responsibility, as we learned here, and the pivotal moment for Pearl's team.
Yes. So I am a little bit of a dumbass. I did not bring the envelope out here. But I left it in my seat. Could you please? I'm sorry. Listen, everybody act like this didn't happen. Sorry. Yeah. ESPYs. First time. Yeah. And the ESPY goes to Philadelphia Eagles.
Crapped all over the big moment for the year.
No, I think he handled that well, though.
Did he? That was good improvisation?
Are you kidding?
Yeah. That's it. ESPYs, first time, yeah.
He called himself a dumbass.
Yes, he did.
I think he handled that pretty well.
Okay. I'm asking, just because I'm a little skeptical.
What do you mean by that?
Did he do this on purpose?
Maybe. Yeah, he sounded probably. Like he was well prepared for that.
Well, he's this Drewski. Is like when Steve Harvey messed up the end of the Miss USA pageant, and it gave more attention on the Miss USA pageant than probably ever before because he had the wrong winner.
But that was not on purpose, though.
It wasn't?
That I don't think was on purpose either.
Yeah. You think that Steve Harvey moment was on purpose? That is hot.
Her tinfoil hat is on.
that was hot. A disaster.
Exactly. Do you remember any other Miss USAs?
But wait. Like,
I remember the video.
It looked like a complete accident with the
Maybe
Miss
he's a better
USA.
Actor than you think.
Steve Harvey.
Don't worry. You see, you watch Steve Harvey.
You think the La La Land Moonlight was saved?
When you say it like that, no, I think Moonlight really. I don't think that was on purpose. I think that was just Warren Beatty or some. They messed it up, right? That was the people behind the scenes. Steve Harvey, he just read it wrong. Drewski left the envelope. These guys are responsible for those screw-ups.
Well, the only difference is this is not a real award. It's an ESPY. It's Team of the Year. They have the Lombardi Trophy. They don't care that they won the ESPY.
Even more of a reason to not take it seriously and make a big joke out of it.
Yes, Sirianni was there. Some of the offensive line was there. They were into it. I don't know where my voice is going here. Jeez.
Do you emotional. Think that they would have an ESPY on the wall at the Eagles facility?
God, please, you joke of a franchise.
No, but somebody would hang it in their house. They'd have like
who do you think gets to keep it? Like Jordan Mailata or something?
I assume with Lori.
Xander Schauffele's parents, apparently, as we learned yesterday. Yeah. They get all the trophies.
Right,
sorry, is there an actual trophy?
Yes.
Yeah.
You get an ESPY. It's like a long silver thing with a ball on top.
Goes in Nick Sirianni's trophy room in Jamestown, New York.
It does not. It does not make anybody's trophy room.
Right, what are you doing?
Who has some,
it? Toss it in the trash?
Howie Roseman have it? Who has it?
I think it goes into a closet.
No chance.
No, because you could even do it like ironically. It's just kind of fun. It's like when someone gets a Razzie, I guess.
Put it in Saquon Barkley's locker room so he can feel like he won the MVP.
I bet it's in the facility, not next to the Lombardi trophies, but somewhere, sure, on display at least for a year.
People love winning stuff.
This year, into this season, hey, we won the ESPY for a Team of the Year.
You know, every team has like their trophy hall, and I've never seen an ESPY there. I don't think.
I haven't investigated that closely enough.
Yeah,
I only spent time at the Jets facility.
And they got
that one. Didn't win any ESPYs.
Not really a hallway. Best Hard Knocks. So much.
All right, there was an ESPY for Best Hard Knocks.
And the award for most dysfunctional franchise goes to.
I got it. Well, exactly. They actually, at least one Lombardi. It's getting lonely, according to Aaron Rodgers.
I'm saying, like, in recent, since the ESPYs became a thing. I don't know
there was actually a Rodgers joke last night.
The fumble ESPY? There was.
It was pretty good, actually. I believe the joke was...
No.
Aaron Rodgers thought it was a bad idea to take the vaccine, but then he joined the Jets.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So low
hanging. I don't. Maybe. Okay, once again, I think I don't totally get it.
Wait, so you don't know me.
So the Jets being a worse idea than taking
correct.
The vaccine.
Yeah. Yes. He may have been wrong. Oh, about
shout
that
out
too.
The Jets.
So taking the vaccine was a bad idea. Then he joined the Jets.
Yes. When in doubt, right. Slam the Jets.
Take a shot at the Jets. Yeah. I like that.
People laugh for that.
Speaking of, Vinny's calling from Arizona. Good morning, yeah. Vinny.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. You got it. What's up?
Hey, so I tuned in a little bit late on my way to work, but when you guys were talking about the best bus of sports, what about the one that Mark Sanchez ran into, Brandon Moore?
Mm. Yeah, infamous.
There you go.
Bursy Vinny, too. poor Brandon Moore, right, who was nothing but a class act,
yep.
Got to be around him a little bit. Long NFL career, I think it was a decade.
Really good guard.
Really good guard.
Yeah.
And a team that probably made it as far as they did because of the defense, but also because that offensive line was so good.
And
Nick
pound.
Mangold and mm-hmm. the Brickashaw Ferguson, okay?
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
and Vinny, he's only remembered for that. He could have just lived the rest of his life in peace, you know? He could have been one of those more anonymous kind of football players who's just stinking rich, gets to live the rest of his life, raise his kids, Vinny, thanks so much, be with his beautiful wife, and instead, he's the most famous butt in sports because Mark Sanchez ran in.
Yeah, he had nothing to do with it happening. He just happened to be there.
Let's make sure we play like the New York Jets.
Nothing. Sanchez. And he was not exactly a big joker either.
No.
He was a very serious dude.
I literally have no idea who you guys are talking
we're
about.
We're talking about
the guy.
Yeah, no, I remember the butt fumble.
Makes her point.
I didn't know there was a real person. I thought it was just a butt.
It's just a kind of just a guy.
Yeah. Actually, more famous butt now because of the tush push. It's probably got to be Jalen Hurts just because his tush gets pushed so famously.
Mm-hmm. You know, I Googled most famous hands. Butts in sports.
Huh.
And it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go.
Shocker.
It looks like an Instagram feed of modern athletes.
Do me a favor. Don't exit out of that tab. I'm going to go look at it in between breaks. Thank you very much.
And with that, we're going to toss to break so we can shuffle some deck chairs here.
Thank you,
CeeLo. More great nicknames. That's what we're doing. Not a bracket of 64 greatest sports butts. It's greatest sports nicknames, everybody. We'll get back to it in just a minute. Also, we've got some new odds came out for the NFL season. Want to get the most important ones to you next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So the best nicknames in sports bracket is live. You can go vote on two regions are now open. Two out of four. And we'll open the other two tomorrow for voting.
Where did Jell-O fall in all of this?
Yeah, LiAngelo... Ball did not make it onto our 64s. Between him and the Galloping Ghosts, it was neck and neck. But no. Okay.
I don't think 9 games at UCLA in a summer league stint.
And an arrest, right?
Didn't in China.
An
arrest.
In China. That was like an international incident.
It's always a bad idea.
He palmed a pair of sunglasses in a mall.
I think he played in Mexico too, LiAngelo.
Did he?
I think so, for the Astros de Jalisco.
You knew that?
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay, let's get to the NFL because we've got some new odds that came out, Pearl, for the upcoming season. Rookie of the year odds right now.
Yeah, so we're really focusing, I assume, on offense here. It's always a skill position player. Obviously, you're not going to name a tackle rookie of the year. It feels to me like a two-horse race. It's got to be Ashton Jeddny or Cam Ward.
Yeah, so... Ashton Jeddny is the leader at plus 270. Cam Ward right behind him at plus 300. And Travis Hunter is plus 900. Teteroa McMillan plus 1,000. The first quarterback on the list is Tyler Shuck the second quarterback, Cam Ward's number one. Tyler Shuck at plus 1,200. Here's my gripe with these odds for both offensive and defensive rookie of the year. I'm really surprised that Travis Hunter is so low on.
But he's
top three, so he's three on offensive and he's three on defense.
Right, that's the problem. That's why he's low, because he's going to share snaps on both sides. He can't focus on, he can't get enough catches to win on offense. And it's hard to get the counting stats on defense.
It's funny. In his
career, Shohei Ohtani taught us nothing.
In his career, though, I think that he may have a better chance of winning an MVP than he ever would to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely. If Shohei has started something, Shohei has not come close to winning the Cy Young, though.
Right.
But
he was actually, I thought he was before he got hurt, that he was in the Cy Young conversation. But here's the thing. I think you guys are underestimating the uniqueness of Travis Hunter. Even if the counting stats may not be there, he has a better shot maybe a defensive rookie, to be honest, if he comes up with a couple interceptions.
So.
Maybe he's more than offensive. But the uniqueness of it is going to be, he's going to get extra love for that. It's going to be like graded on a curve. And I think it's a lot like the Heisman. He didn't have the best counting stats for the Heisman Trophy, for offensive or for defensive. He was damn good. And he definitely got a boost because he was doing both. Plus 1,000?
Well, I just
that's an easy bet to make.
The nature of the award, well, Heisman's overall, though, right? I think the nature of the award splitting an offense-defense pins him a little bit. Now, you're right. I think he's a much better chance at defense. Because what do we think the high-end offense would possibly be? Like number, like receptions or receiving yards? I don't
well,
see
Brian
him.
Well, Brian Thomas, they have a legit wide receiver.
Yeah,
there.
I just don't see them using enough because they'd wear him down so much. I think that he's going to be 75% offense, and that's not enough to win. There's going to be somebody who comes up, Tyrone McMillan. Somebody's going to have a big year.
Yeah, but you got to be on a winning team, don't you, or close
to it? Rookie of the Year, I think you could. Let's, I mean, Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson famously won for the Jets. And how good were they that year?
But they weren't like a 3-win team or a 4-win team. How many wins do you think the Carolina Panthers are going to have this year?
Well, people are into the Panthers. That's a buzzy team.
Yeah, that's buzzy, but realistically,
I think their win total is at 7. I could see that. I mean, again, I'm not saying specifically him. That's why I think Ashton Jenny could, if he runs for 1,500 yards and they win 7 games, that's fine.
7 is fine. 3-4 can't do it. Manny Abdul Carter is the leader for Defensive Rookie of the Year, plus 200. And Jalen Walker's next, plus 850. Travis Hunter third, plus 1,000.
That's great. Can he score some touchdowns for us?
I'm wondering, like, you know, to have like an impact as a pass rusher, you got to be in close games. How bad do we think the Giants season's going to be?
I don't think so. I think that's like a very much a pad my stats position.
He could even blow off
and just get sacks.
No, but you run the ball when you're in a blowout. You're not going to put your quarterback at risk. Don't you just run the ball to run out the clock?
Rack up those TFLs.
You know, I said that to you, but to be honest, I don't actually think the Giants are going to have a terrible year. I think my hot take of the season is that Brian Daboll keeps his job.
One thing about the Giants, they have a lot of sacks to share because they got a lot of talent up there, the front line. I think they'll have to share.
Yeah, their defensive line is good. Not sure about the secondary. Defensive line is good. And I think the only thing Brian Daboll is really getting judged on is whenever Jackson Dart does get into see some action that he looks good
competent.
That you see something.
The problem with that is if Jackson Dart shows something and they're bad, then next year's class is good and 27th class is amazing.
Yeah, but all of a sudden if Brian Daboll is out of a job next year and you have Jackson Dart and you have a high draft pick, don't you think that job becomes a little bit more attractive because you have a quarterback, maybe? Maybe trade that quarterback, get some more assets, get another first-round pick, get Arch, trade that pick that maybe could turn into Arch, get more first-round picks.
No, I see it more likely as, what if they're terrible and Jackson Dart is just okay, and then they're looking at the number 3 pick, and that's a quarterback. That's a tough spot, too. I think that's why people don't take a quarterback at 26.
Okay, but so the Giants' issues, right, is they need a quarterback, whether it's going to be Jackson Dart or someone in the future. And Brian Daboll is kind of like that guy that people like to develop quarterbacks. Yeah. He hasn't really been given that opportunity. Daniel Jones, and you did still make the playoffs and won a playoff game. And then injuries and Tommy DeVito, you know, I think Daboll, you would look out at the coaching candidates and be like, all right, well, we still have to develop a quarterback, so we're going to probably look for an offensive guy, and we already got one in the building.
I think they have to go at least 9-8 to do that. I think any losing record, I think they lose patience.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Our quest to find the greatest nickname in the history of sports starts today. Boats in the water, guys. Go to Maggie and Pearl off on Instagram, Maggie and Pearl on X, see our bracket.